The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here.
Good evening, folks. Very welcome along to the Bench. A packed hour coming your way. We'll be wrapping up all today's action in the Premier League as Hull go down, Newcastle survive, and has Brendan Rodgers taken charge of his last Liverpool game? All that and more coming up very, very shortly. We'll have a full roundup in the Senior Football and Hurling Championships.
I suppose right up to the death tonight, I kept it in the sideline. I just felt I said there's one more goal in us, there's one more chance in us, and thankfully I felt that Darren Mack, like, there's no better man to finish it, you know.
We'll also discuss today's Munster Championship action. We'll talk to Spike O'Sullivan about his latest win wearing a kilt and wanting to face Golovkin next.
I'd like to fight him. You know, he's number one middleweight out there right now, and I'd like to get into the position, and I fancy the job a lot.
That's all to come between now and 7 p.m. right here on the Big Red Bench. How you doing, folks? Hope you're all well on this Sunday evening. The Premier League ending with a whimper in what has been an absolutely dreadful season altogether. We'll discuss that a little bit later on. Also on the show tonight, we're going to be talking cricket as Cork County pick up a big win against YMCA. And we're going to talk basketball as well as we talk to Colin O'Reilly about naming his squad for the championships in China. So we'll discuss that all between now and 7 p.m. right here on the Big Red Bench. Tweet at Big Red Bench, text 086 8104 106. To get us underway, Miss Lisa Lawler.
Alright Rory, so you'll take us through the Premier League very shortly, so we'll start with the Gaelic Games action. The Munster Senior Hurling Championship quarter-final ending in victory for Limerick as they beat Clare by a single point. It finished 119-215 at Simple Stadium this afternoon. Both sides going down to 14 players. Pat Donnellan received a straight red card at the end of the first half, while Shawnee Tobin received a red card just moments on the field as he was substituted. O'Donovan and Ross enjoyed a big win over Clonakilty in round 2 of the Senior Football Championship locally this afternoon. That ended 215-10. We had one match in the Red FM Senior Hurling League today as Blackrock beat Sarsfields 2-9-111. Play has concluded at the BMW PGA Championship, and victory there went to Byung-Hun An, who won by 6 shots on 21 under par ahead of Miguel Angel Jimenez, while Shane Lowry was best of the Irish and finished in a lovely tied for 6 on 11 under par. He had a final round 69 today, so a fantastic week for him ahead of the Irish Open next weekend. In news of rugby, and Connacht have gone to extra time in their clash against Gloucester this afternoon for their Champions Cup qualifier, and it's looking like bad news for Connacht there. 40-30 they are down in just seconds left in that match. While in news of Formula 1, Nico Rosberg won the Monaco Grand Prix today ahead of teammate Sebastian Vettel in second and Lewis Hamilton in third.
Thank you, Lisa. We will start with the Premier League, and Hull relegated from the Premier League this afternoon. They finished scoreless with Manchester United. Darren Stanage watched them.
Hull City 0, Manchester United 0 means Hull City are relegated from the Premier League. Even if they'd have won this game, it wouldn't have mattered, but they failed to take their chances today. The best opportunity really came to El Mohamedy on 18 minutes. His header brilliantly saved from Valdez. In the second half, Mailer volleyed over. That was an all that brilliant opportunity. Manchester United hit the bar in the first minute, but they went at the races. It was all Hull City coming forward, but they couldn't take their chances. Hull are relegated, Hull City 0, Manchester United 0.
It wouldn't matter if they'd won anyway, because Newcastle beat West Ham. Graham Lloyd was at St James's to watch it for us.
Newcastle 2, West Ham 0. The Magpies had to win to be sure of staying up, and they did just that. They were set on their way by Moussa Sissoko's fine far post finish 9 minutes into the second half. Jonas Gutierrez supplied the cross, and Sissoko's header beat Adrian from 6 yards out. 5 minutes from time, Gutierrez fired home the second. It was no more than Newcastle deserved. Spurred on by a supportive 52,000 capacity crowd, including owner Mike Ashley, they turned in an energetic, fully focused and committed performance. Newcastle 2, West Ham 0.
So that's all down, Newcastle safe. Now, the big story of the day today was Liverpool's performance Beaten 6-1 away to Stoke.
All I can do is laugh.
Yeah, we'll leave Dave Easton to describe it for us.
Stoke City 6, Liverpool 1. Stoke City finished their season on a high with a full-scale demolition of Liverpool. All the damage done in a remarkable first half. Mehmet Diouf scoring twice in 4 minutes. Walters nodding a third before Adam and Nzonzi fired two more before the break. Probably the worst half of football Steven Gerrard's been involved in. In his final game, the Liverpool skipper got a second-half consolation, but Reds old boy Peter Crouch had the final word, making it 6, a super 6 for Stoke. Stoke 6, Liverpool 1.
I suppose the big question is, will Brendan Rodgers still be in charge of the club next season?
There probably hasn't been enough heat on him lately. Yeah, I think if the heat had persisted over the last couple of weeks, that would be the nail, but do you think so? I don't think so.
I don't think they will. I don't think they will. I don't think there's anyone out there to replace him.
What I was going to say. If there was somebody sitting there waiting for it, like, they're not going to bring Benitez back.
Klopp is there. By the same token, if they did sack him, I wouldn't be
surprised.
No. But I don't think they will. Elsewhere, Arsenal rounding off their season with a 4-1 win against West Brom. Already relegated Burnley getting a 1-0 win away to Aston Villa. Danny Ings, that man on target again for Burnley. I'd imagine he'd still be in the Premier League next season. The champions, Chelsea, getting a 3-1 win against Sunderland. Palace ending their season with a 1-0 win over Swansea. Tottenham a 1-0 win for them over Everton. Kind of apt that Harry Kane got their last goal of the season, because he's been their main man this year. Leicester the big 5-1 win over QPR. Leicester, as I mentioned, 5-1. Man City 2-0 on Southampton. And as we heard the other results, Hull 0, Manchester United 0, Newcastle 2, West Ham 0, and Stoke City 6, Liverpool 1. So that means Hull, Burnley, QPR are relegated. Tottenham get the Europa League. Liverpool have to go to Europa League qualification. Manchester United get Champions League, but they'll have to qualify. Arsenal, Man City, Chelsea all there in Champions League. What do you laugh?
I forgot my mic was on. I nearly said something in response to what you said about Liverpool going to a Europa League qualifier.
Was that a four-letter word that starts with F and ends with K?
No, not that bad. I'm a lady. Just looking at all the results, and as you kind of summarise the Premier League season, it's been... Where was the excitement? I'd say we got the most crack this whole year season out of you abusing me about Liverpool.
It was just a nothing season. Yeah. Chelsea were just the better team. They led from start to finish
1 week ago.
It was just bleh.
We knew they had a one before Christmas.
Yeah, there was just nothing about it. I mean, like, today was the last day of the season. It was just a whimper. It was like, all right, let's just get it out of the way. Hopefully it'll improve next year, but I think Chelsea will probably strengthen in the summer and they'll be the team to catch again next season. All right, in the League One playoff final, Preston are 2-0 up on Swindon. 35 minutes on the clock at Wembley. Corkman Alan Brown on the bench there for Preston as well. And Celtic rounding off their season with a 5-0 win over Inverness.
And Connacht have been beaten by Gloucester. Absolutely... awful defeat, 40 points to 32 in the end, and a refereeing decision by Roman Watt, according to Manny, at the end of normal time there to allow the equaliser that forced it to added time. Mm-hmm. So Connacht's going to be hugely aggrieved by that.
Yeah, not a way you want to end your season. Right, we're going to talk Gaelic games, and O'Donovan Ross are defeating Clonakilty today, 215 to 10 points in the second round of the Senior Football Championship. To discuss that game in detail, Lisa had the chance to speak to the Evening Echo's Ger McCarthy.
Pretty one-sided, Lisa, to be honest with you. The final score is a pretty hefty win for O'Donovan Rossa, but they were on top from the opening minute right to the end, and they put on the handbrake in the closing quarter of an hour. If they wanted to, I think they could have added to the scoreboard. So a very, very, very impressive performance from Skibbereen, and a second consecutive disappointing performance from Clonakilty.
And is that the kind of overriding thought coming out of it, that, you know, people would have expected more from Clon?
Absolutely. I think everybody, or anyone that witnessed the opening round defeat to Newcestown, it was a really poor performance. We're expecting a much improved effort today. They didn't really get that. Now, granted, there were some key injuries. Cork and Dracoonty player Tom Clancy went off at half-time with an ankle injury. Clon also lost David O'Regan. He's quite an influential player for him, an experienced player, after about 20, 22 minutes. And they lost club captain the night before, Donal Lyons, who didn't tug out at all. But I think it would be unfair to use those as excuses, and Clon certainly aren't using them as excuses. On the day, Skibbereen were just much, much better. They got two first half goals. They had Kevin Davis in imperious form on the 40, and they were full value for their victory.
So this was an overall 1-15 and maybe more coming in, a good performance from O'Donovan Rossa?
Absolutely. I mean, from the forward line back, even, I mean, Ryan Price made a not long into the second half, Conor Kilty had an opportunity, a lifeline from a penalty kick that Johnny Leahy's shot was saved by Ryan Price, and that was important because had they scored that, they may well have come back into it, but you know, it's kind of, you're not certain even saying that, even had they converted that, I don't know if they'd gone on to win it. But from Skip's point of view, once Ryan Price saved that penalty, from then on, I mean, they just kicked for home. But up front, Kevin Davis was brilliant, as I mentioned. He scored 5 points. He set up numerous other scores himself. Tomás Hegarty, Rob Long on the half forward line were excellent. Dave Shannon was an excellent target man, a full forward, and he ended up with 3 points. But it was the goals by Paddy Crowley in the first half that really kind of killed off Conor Kilty's hopes. And when you consider that they also hit the crossbar and Paddy Regan had to make 2 point blank saves, it could have been much, much worse for Conor Kilty.
Absolutely. And Conor Kilty going forward, how do you think they'll be fixed going into the next round now, and can they save their status?
That's an excellent question. It's not looking good. If you base it on the previous two performances against Newcastle and today against Skip, they have an awful lot of work to do. They still haven't strung any kind of a performance together in the senior championship so far. You look down through the team and say who played well today. Barry O'Mahony was one of the few people who showed up. He came on as a substitute and kicked 5 points. But once Conor McCarthy was put marking him, he kind of nullified his threat. After that, you really are looking around to see anyone in particular who might have shone. They have a lot of injuries, as I mentioned earlier. David O'Regan and Tom Clancy are going to be big losses for them if they don't get them fit. Donal Lyons as well. They just need a win. They need to find a win from somewhere. And going into the last four teams now, I mean, you've got Clyde Rovers already there, and nobody really would want to face them considering how well they played against Carby Rangers and Castlehaven. You might have Knicks, you might have Island Rovers in there as well. So if you base it purely on the two performances that have just gone before, Connor in serious, serious trouble. They just need to find a spark, they need to find some sort of form, and they need to find a win from anywhere now at this stage.
And sure, then O'Donovan Rossa getting back on track. Are they back on track? Was there, you know, a significant improvement on the first round defeat?
Absolutely. That was the big, I suppose, the main talking point from their players and their mentor Shane Crowley, who I interviewed after the game. They weren't necessarily talking in terms of relief. Obviously, they are relieved to be back into the championship now, but the manner in which they went around about their business and got their victory today was very, very impressive. Midfield, I think Donalogue Hodnett had a fantastic game. They moved him out midfield alongside Sean Carmody today, and he had a very, very good game. He was influential all the way through. Once their injuries clear up, I mean, they have Conor McCarthy who came off the bench. They have a very, very experienced bench that they can call upon, like Pat Gilmore and people like that can still come back in. They now are a team that, I don't know if they're a team capable of going on to win the county. I think that's stretchy a bit. But considering how well they played today and how disappointed they were after the Bishopstown game, they're absolutely delighted with the victory. They didn't really care that it was Clan that they beat today. They just cared that they won. But the manner in which they won gives them confidence that they can kick on from here. And they may well take a scalp between here and the end of the championship. But they were absolutely worthy winners today, and their manager and the whole backroom team, the players were delighted with the full-time whistle.
Excellent stuff. That's a 2-15-10 point win for O'Donovan Rossa over Clonakilty in the second round of the Senior Football Championship this evening. Ger McCarthy, thank you very much for your analysis.
No problem at all.
That's Ger McCarthy there of the Evening Echo speaking to Lisa about today's Senior Football Championship clash. A good win for O'Donovan Rossa there in round two. Preston 2-0 up on Swindon in the League One playoff, and the Cork connection has just gone a little bit stronger. Alan Brown has come on after 36 minutes. He replaces Paul Gallagher, who assisted in their two goals. But it's Preston who lead by 2-0, and there are 41 minutes on the clock there at Wembley. Looking at the Senior Hurling Championship, round one completed with the final three games last night. Ballymartle pulling off a big win over Glen Rovers at Porkyrin, led by Darren McCarthy, who scored 1-8. Ballymartle came from 7 points down to defeat Glen Rovers by 219-23, a 2-point win. Ballymartle coach Johnny Crowley gave us his reaction after the game.
In fairness to Ballymartle, they don't do things easy, you know. I came on board last year and we were bitterly disappointed. We were bitterly disappointed after the quarterfinal against you know, same opposition. It's a game I felt we should have won and could have won, you know. You know, on the day, they probably got the breaking ball and you know, capitalising it. And I suppose right up to the death tonight, I kept it in the sideline. I just felt I said there's one more goal in us, there's one more chance in us, and thankfully I felt that Darren Mack, like, there's no better man to finish it, you know.
Yeah, let's talk about him, because he was immense tonight.
Yeah, well, he was immense in the second half, absolutely, you know. He was, you know, but Darren does that, you know. He's the kind of guy that gets on the ball and will punish it if he gets the ball and gets space. But like, Darren is doing it year in, year out at Club Hurling in Cork, you know. To be honest with you, I'm amazed that, and I'm not criticising by any manner of means, but I'm amazed that Darren hasn't got a run with Cork, a true run. He's gone through a league campaign without, I don't think he's got 2 or 3 minutes in it, like, you know. And he's a kind of player that he's elusive, and he's a kind of a player that if he gets a ball, he will score, or he'll stick it, or he'll do something productive with it. And he's brave, he's got a good hand in him, he's a great hurling brain in him, like, you know. And he's definitely putting his hat in the ring anyway after tonight, you know. You know, Darren can only be as good as what's around him, and I thought, you know, young Jack Dwyer there, who made his debut tonight for the team, was sensational for a fella coming in. Liam Curry on the other side in the half-back, then again, you know, was a bit nervous in the first 10-15 minutes, but I think in the last quarter of an hour, again, when we needed our wall there, like, you know, and Liam, Pa, Ricky, Seamus, Curry in the second half there were just, I thought they were huge, you know. Everything that came down top of them, we won, and we went forward, and we drove forward, and, you know, it was probably the game plan coming into it, and it didn't quite work in the first half, that we were going to go at these guys and really take the game to them. And, you know, in the first half, we felt at times we were lax in that, and we spoke about it at half time, and we said, look, lads, you know, we've worked diligently over the last 4 weeks to go at teams, and, you know, we had the fitness. Alton O'Callaghan and Dennis Crowley have done fantastic work there on the fitness level side of things, and we knew we had that, so we just wanted to go to the better end of it, like, you know. And thankfully we did, and, you know, it was a small bit in the tap at the end of it, you know,
because 6 points down at half time, you weren't panicking at half time, you weren't changing anything.
No, like, we spoke about it, like, and I suppose the one thing we did speak, and we said it a few times in the dressing room, was like that, you know, we didn't do what we planned to do, you know. We planned to get the game and take the game to these crowd, and, you know, like, 6 points is nothing, it's only 2 scores in a game, like, you know. We spoke with that in the dressing room, and we just said, like, you know, once we get a score or two, we might get on a bit of a roll and we'd go at them, but the one thing we were determined to do is, like, you know, the hole we dug for ourselves, we're going to dig ourselves out of it. And, you know, I suppose the one thing was, like, you know, irrespective of when we came out of victory or not a victory, we were going to come out in the second half and win the second half, and, you know, we've done that, so it's great, it's fantastic. We're playing Senior Hurling now in 2016, you know.
Yeah. And how important is it, and I mean, how much did the fact that it was Glen Rovers, how big a factor was that?
Well, like, you know, it's a good question. I mean, like, you know, Glen Rovers are a fantastic, fantastic club. You know, I'd always say when I was looking after Sarah's there in 2010 when we won the county, just, you know, winning a county final by beating the Glen Rovers is really winning a county, you know, and that's respects to a lot of other clubs out there. And likewise here, like, you're coming from a small village there in Belgoolie and Riverstick, like, and you're coming up to meet the giants of, you know, not just Cork Hurling, but probably Munster Hurling for a long time, you know, and like, that aura is still always about them, and they're always there, and they're always dangerous, like, and any player with the likes of, you know, Stevie Mack and Hoggy and Cronin and these fellas, like, they're a very formidable team. And, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, I know it's only a first round, but I probably, to us, it meant a whole lot, you know what I mean? Like, I have no doubts in your minds, like, Glen Rovers will be in the first round of the Senior Hurling Championship, like, there's no question or doubt about that, like, you know. So, but the only thing is, we're there and we're happy and, you know, absolutely delighted inside our tonight.
But when the going got tough there towards the end, no player on your side looked to lack any confidence at all.
No, and I think, you know, we've installed that in them, like, you know, we've worked really hard now since January. We've done, you know, we've probably changed things up from last year and it's worked. And, like, the one thing we wanted to do was go to the end, you know, like, you know. Like, Alton was saying in there the other day in a thing, like, you know, he said, look, if you can breathe, you can go forward. And we had that, you know, with ourselves, that, like, if you can breathe, we can go forward. And that's the one thing we've done in the end. And it was, you know, it was a huge victory. I mean, I suppose it was, to watch it must have been a spectacular victory, you know what I mean? I suppose being on the sideline, it wasn't so spectacular, but still, at the end of the day, it's fantastic. And I'm thrilled for the club, and I'm thrilled for the lads. They're a great bunch of guys, and, you know, it's a great win.
It's Ballymartin coach Johnny Crowley there speaking after last night's win over Glen Rover. That's a cracking quote, isn't it? If you can breathe, you can go forward.
You can go forward, yeah.
I like it.
But it was the spirit of Ballymartin last night, genuinely. Like, I could not understand the second half. Every player, 1-15, and the lads that came in,
they found energy. I don't know where they found it, to be honest, but the heart they were showing, the fight they were showing was brilliant. It was excellent. Real battlers. So fully deserving of that comeback victory. It was huge.
All right, the opening game of that doubleheader, Páirc Uaireann saw Douglas finish strong to beat St Finbarr's 114 to 9 points. Douglas substitute Matt Dolan scoring with 5 minutes left to put his side 5 clear, and it was game over. Douglas manager Cathal Collins gave us his reaction.
It was big time nervous out there tonight now, because I knew it coming down, and I said it to the lads, I was never as nervous before a match, because with the amount of players that we were missing, things like that, like, and it being the Bears, and like, the Bears are good hurlers, like, and they always have been. I mean, it was always going to be kind of a potential banana skin toss, like, you know, and last weekend three of the favourites lost, like, you know, but we had the subs in the line, and we knew it, that if we needed them we could bring them in, and look, I mean, it worked in the finish for us, thanks to God. So
anyone that wasn't here and sees the winning margin he had might think he had it easy, but he really didn't. It was only in the last 5 minutes he pulled away.
That's all, but I to be honest and to be fair to the Bears, like, you know, they stuck in there and they made it hard for us, but I think that we made it difficult for ourselves as well. With 14 wides, you know, you can't be doing that. They're keeping me 3-point blank saves, like, you know. I mean, overall, I'd be happy with it, like, you know, but I mean, there's a lot of players out there that won't be happy with their own performance tonight. And they know that themselves, like, and I don't need to go into the dressing room and tell them. They'll know that themselves, and I think those guys are good young fellas, and they'll change that around, hopefully, for next round of the championship.
Yeah. And Mark's goal when it came, like, it was very well taken, a superb finish.
Cracking little goal. Mm. He's not a young fella that's starting a game. Because, I mean, he's not the biggest in the world, but, I mean, when you get a game opened up, he's the kind of fella, you produce him, and next year you have a bit of magic out of him, like, you know, he's well capable of doing that, like, you know, and he produced it tonight, like, and it was a cracking goal, like, you know. So
did the fact that you know it was going to be Blackrock in the second game make it even easier to focus the minds on this round one clash?
No, we weren't focusing on anyone else, only ourselves here tonight and the Bears, and our job was to come down and beat the Bears, and we weren't worried about who we were playing the next round, although I'd like a crack at Blackrock, but we're not going to get it now, but maybe later on the championship in the final, maybe, hopefully.
Yeah.
So, but not, no, I wasn't thinking about Blackrock tonight, that's for sure.
Was there times there on the line this afternoon or evening that you thought we're in trouble here, and it makes the relief to get through round one even more greater?
Yeah, you'd be, I didn't panic, like, you know, but you'd be a bit worried, but, you know, I knew what was behind my back was capable of coming on and doing the business for us, and we were playing with a good strong wind in the second half. Like, I mean, like, Owen Cadigan down the second half again. He produced a good stuff, outstanding. There was nothing went past him beyond the second half. Again, Mark Collins, like, you know. A lot of young fellas didn't play well out there tonight, and they know that themselves, like, you know. So.
And obviously, progressing to round four now, you'll hopefully have a player like Alan back in round four as well, so it's a huge boost.
Absolutely. John Collins. You know, there's a lot more fellas there. Like, there's a lot of young fellas there tonight, you know, they're playing junior championship in the morning. And, you know, they'll be used before the year is out if we have to. That's the one thing we want. We won't be afraid to be on subs.
Yes, Douglas boss Cathal Collins there speaking after their win over the Bears last night. 114 to 9 points is how that finished. Preston have gone 3-0 up on Swindon in the League One playoff, just approaching half time there. Now, Lisgoold was the venue for last night's round one meeting of Aaron Zone and Carrick Toole. A goal in the opening minute, and again on the 6th, gave the victors a comfortable lead from early on. And after that, they won 226 to 16 points. Aaron's own boss, Martin Bowen, that's what I meant to say the first time, says it was a very pleasing result.
Well, we were leased, to be honest, you know, it is a local derby, and we felt, you know, local derbies, they normally have a habit of bringing up here the surprising results, so we were very pleased, I suppose. We knew Kerry Toole, where a team had won a county later than ourselves, and I suppose we were a bit cautious. We also had a change team from last year, and the fact that we had 3 or 4 new players. So, you know, all in all, we have to say we're very pleased.
And who were your championship debutants last night, seeing as you mentioned them?
Well, from last year's team, like, we would have had, I suppose, Shea Bowen in goals. He was out all of last year injured. We had Dara Dinhy, cornerback, Carl O'Maney, wing back. We had Alan Bowen in the middle of the field, and Jack Sheehan centre forward, and we also brought on a cup minor, Robbie O'Flynn, for his first game as well.
Great stuff. And let's talk about the game then and how it played out. I mean, the two early goals really set you up, Martin.
They did. The two early goals were critical. I suppose they gave us a cushion, and also, I think, you know, it probably put Kerry Toole under next to a bit of pressure. But having said that, you know, Kerry had a lot of wides in the first half, and you know, only for those goals, it could have been a different, there could have been a different complexion in the scoreline at half-time. So certainly the two goals gave us, you know, a very, very good position going into half-time.
Those through Jack Sheehan, of course, and Owen Murphy. And were they opportunistic now, Martin, or was that something you had planned going out? Let's expose the Carrick Tool defence straight away.
Well, I suppose the only thing we had planned going out, Lisa, was to win the match. I mean, we're very conscious of the fact like, that it was important to win the first round from our point of view. And I suppose we felt that we needed a good start. And we just went for it from the start. And we were delighted, obviously, to get the goals.
Now, 8 points up at half-time. Did that give you an opportunity to try and use the second half to try anything different? Or, well, you did mention that you brought in a young minor. So was that, you know, you used it the second half well?
Well, we did, and I suppose we were stressing to the lads at half time, like an 8-point lead in hurling is not a great lead, you know, and like, I suppose we were conscious that if Kai Tool got an early goal to put us in the back foot, so we just said we'd have to match them score for score in the second half. In fairness to the lads, you know, they maintained the momentum, and we were very pleased, obviously, we gave one or two lads a run in towards the end of the game, but overall it was very satisfactory from our point of view.
Great stuff. Martin, you're one of the managers that escaped me the night of the championship launch, so I didn't get an opportunity to speak to you then about your aspirations for the year on a whole and what would represent a good championship for Aaron's Own.
Well, I suppose the ideal championship is to win the championship.
Yeah.
But Lisa, there's only one team can win it. From our point of view, I suppose we're anxious to go as far as we can. However far that will be, we only targeted last night's match. That was our target from the start of the year. It was our total focus, and the way we're going to proceed is whatever comes next in the championship is going to be our next target, and just let it develop as it goes.
Alright, well, the very best of luck to you, Martin. Thanks for speaking to us.
You're welcome, Lisa. Thanks very much.
That's Aaron's Own boss, Martin Bowen, there speaking after last night's win over Carrick Tool. So round one is complete. The round two pairings are St Finbarr's versus Black Rock, Yall v Killagh, Glenrovers v Carrick Tool, and Sarsfields and Bishopstown. So some big teams going to be involved in a relegation battle.
Yeah, I don't think many would have had several teams there, as you called them earlier on, the big hitters or the historically very high achievers when it comes to Cork Senior Hurling Championship. So that's a very interesting second round coming up.
Yeah, very, very interesting indeed. Right, we're going to take a break. Still to come on the show, we're going to talk at Munster Championship next. We're going to talk about Limerick's win over Clare. And we're going to talk boxing with Spike O'Sullivan. We're going to talk cricket and basketball all between now and seven.
The Big Red Bench.
Getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here.
Red FM.
Rory and Lisa here with you until 7 p.m. tonight on the Big Red Bench. Halftime, Preston 3-0 up on Swindon in the League One playoff. We are going to continue to talk Gaelic games. We're going to talk Munster Championship now with the football and hurling championships underway this weekend. The Cork footballers can now prepare for their Munster semi-final knowing it's Clare they'll play after they beat Limerick last night. Lisa spoke to Peter O'Connell of the Clare champion about that game, but first they took a look at today's hurling action and a 1-point win for Limerick at Semple Stadium as they beat Clare 119-215.
Yeah, incredible second half, Lisa. The first half was very stop-start. Neither team really got going, and you know, both teams were more or less relying on, in Clare's terms, Colin Ryan, and Limerick relying on Shane Dowling for scores. You know, they put over most of their scores from frees in the first half. The incident just before half-time, I suppose, was a fairly important incident in that Clare were reduced to 14 men. Pat Donlan sent off just before half-time. Limerick then, Limerick sub was sent off as well. Johnny Tobin, he must have been on for, I'd say, all of 3 seconds before he got into a bit of an incident with Pat O'Connor and got a straight red. But I think, Lisa, when Limerick got that goal from Graham Mulcahy, about 17 minutes left at that stage, they were 6 points up. It looked as if they were going to pull away, but Aaron Cunningham came on as a sub and he was absolutely unbelievable. He scored two unbelievable goals. And the second goal in particular, what I specifically remember about that is the way in which he got away from Seamus Hickey. You know, a player of Seamus Hickey's quality just ran away from him. Brought Clare right back into it. And in the 69 minutes, Shane O'Donnell equalised. You know, so it looks as if maybe possibly a replay. But Limerick then put over the winning point. John Fitzgibbon on as a sub, stuck it over from about 50 yards out, and I suppose overall, Lisa, Limerick just about deserved it, you know, but it was real Munster hurling in the second half, in the first half, as you said there. not great.
No. Davy Fitz going down the tunnel, having a very frank discussion with Cork referee Cullum Lyons. But, I mean, they can't really use the sending off as an excuse. He deserved it, and obviously it was levelled up in the second half. But you feel Limerick deserves the win?
I think it is, Lisa. They were more consistent all the way through the game. A lot of players, big players like Tony Kelly, wasn't in the game enough. You know, he was well sacked by Gavin O'Mahony. Shane O'Donnell looked very dangerous when he got a bit of space. But to be fair, Richie McCarthy did fairly well, and then Limerick were quite disciplined and obviously had an extra man for a good bit, and were able to put Jim Masicki back in front of the full back line. I don't think Clare can blame the referee. To be honest, there was a few decisions in the first half that I think went Clare's way in terms of frees, a couple of soft enough frees. And, you know, Lisa, it's the third time this game in a row that Clare have had a man red carded. Pat Collins was sent off last year against Wexford. In the replay, then Brenda Butler was sent off, and as was Jack Brown. So, you know, it's been happening a lot, and I think Clare must look at themselves before they go blame the referee.
Now, Peter, we want to talk about the Clare footballers and their victory last night, because down here in Cork we were keeping a close eye on that to see who would progress, because they're playing Cork in the Munster Championship semi-final. But a 2-point victory for your footballers over Limerick last night.
It got a bit tight towards the end. Clare played extremely well in the first half. We're 5 points up at half time. Should have been a lot more up. Gary Brennan was just magnificent in the first half. It was the best 35 minutes Gary Brennan has ever produced for Clare, and you know, he's produced a lot of good stuff in the middle of the field. Scored 4 points in play, and Limerick just couldn't get near him. Limerick couldn't win their own kick out. They couldn't win a Clare kick out. They were under serious pressure. Second half, Limerick were a changed team. You know, they seemed to just realise they were playing championship football. Began to take on Clare, ran at them, and caused a lot of problems. I think if Limerick, the closest Limerick got in the second half was a point. I think that if Limerick had equalised, they probably would have won it, because they had all the momentum. What won at least for Clare was the bench. All through the Division 3 league, Clare had no impact from the bench, but yesterday evening, Rory Donnelly came on, scored 2 points in play. Carl McInerney came on, scored 2 points, including one from a vital free and also one from play as well. So they got 4 points in the bench. Keelan Sexton, who is still a minor, came on, and he actually set up Colin McInerney for that last point. So the subs really made a big impact, and that's why Clare won it, because if Clare hadn't those lads on the bench, Limerick would have beaten them. And I suppose, hopefully, Lisa, like, Clare were missing two crucial lads last night in David Tuberty, who's Clare's main free taker, and Shane McGrath, who scored 18 points in play in the league. If they're fit for the Cork game,
and that's, you know, the question, are they going to be, or do we...
Well, they're hoping that they will be, but, you know, they're just not sure. David Tuberty has tore his groin, and he's still kind of trying to recover from that. I mean, rest is basically what he's been told to do. Shane McGrath had an ankle operation, and I think he probably has a better chance of being available. If they're available, possibly in the Coxham from Kimberley or Brecon as well, you know, Clare will have a bit more depth and a few more options, and I think could compete with Cork. They competed well with Kerry last year in Cusack Park, but, you know, going away to Cork or Kerry realistically is a big step up for the likes of Clare. But, you know, if a couple of those lads are back, I'd be confident that they would be able to compete. I'm not saying they're going to win, but, you know, they would at least be able to compete.
Because I know we had Don Davis on the show last night talking about how no matter who came through last night's match, it was an All-Ireland final type match for Cork in terms of getting their championship off to a good start in Porkyrin. Well, what we want to know is, how are this Clare side going to trouble Cork? Where are their big threats that we should be aware of when they come down?
Clare has a few quality forwards, definitely, Lisa. Like last night, for example, Pods Collins, he just scored a point, but he was full of life. He was buzzing all over the field, winning ball, tackling back, you know, doing what Pods does, which is basically run all over the place and try and get involved in the play as much as possible. Gary Brennan is Clare's main man in the middle of the field, and he overshadows Carl O'Connor, the other midfielder. But Carl O'Connor has had a really, really good league and has been Clare's, I would say, most consistent player throughout the league, and yesterday evening as well, a very defined game. So he's Clare of a very strong midfield, so I'd be hoping that they will be able to win a lot of primary possession in that part of the field, and supply the likes of Pods Collins, his brother Sean, Carl McInerney. I'd say, you know, must be in line to start. He's been out injured for a good while, but he's back fit now. After the way he played last night, he must be in line to start. A young man from Milton Malbay back in West Clare called Owen Cleary made his full championship debut last night. He was used as a sub last year in Clare's 5 championship games. So he put over 2 nice points. And he's the type of player as well who's got a lot to offer. But as I said, if McGrath and Tuberty are back, the two lads that were out injured, you know, definitely Clare will be much stronger. Possibly, you know, one area of weakness for Clare is maybe in the back line. Once or twice last night, they did get a bit exposed. But, you know, overall, they're fairly competitive. Another player who did really well last night but unfortunately got a black card was Jamie Malone at centre forward. He's under 21, he's a good strong player but also well able to play football as well. So I'd be confident enough, Lisa, that Clare, you know, have it in them to produce a good display against Cork. Now, I'm not going to say they're going to beat Cork because, you know,
you're talking to Cork Radio.
I don't really expect that at the moment, like, but definitely I'd expect them to compete well. And you never know, like, if you can compete, you've got a chance.
Absolutely. Peter, we look forward to that in 3 weeks' time. Defeat for your hurlers today, but good stuff for your footballers last night. Thanks for talking to us.
Not a bother, Lisa. Pleasure.
The Big Red Bench on Cork's FM. That's Peter O'Connell today of the Clare champion speaking to Lisa about Limerick's win today as they beat Clare, but Clare will also be facing Cork in the Munster semi-final. Intriguing battle ahead.
Indeed, yeah. It's interesting to hear Peter talk about how Clare's strengths are in midfield. You know, that's an area that has been of concern for Cork, and Dublin exploited that in the league final when it came to kickouts. So is that an area of Cork's game that Clare will target? And also the fact that they've possibly got a weak full back line, and we all know how good the Cork full forward line is. Cullum O'Neill and Brian Hurley could clean up there. So, yeah, look, it'll be interesting to see what happens in Porcupine. But as Don Davis described it last night, it's their All-Ireland final now.
Certainly is. Right, we're going to talk boxing, and it was a big night for Spike O'Sullivan last night, the Cortland picking up another win, defeating Melvin Betancourt in Boston for the NABA Middleweight Championship. And rather impressively, he did it all while wearing a kilt. I spoke to Spike earlier on today and began by congratulating him.
Yeah, I'm very happy, Rory. Fantastic. New title as well, it's great.
Yeah, tell us about the match, because Betancourt was a tall, kind of rangy fighter, and he kind of started out just by working the jab, and it took you kind of a while just kind of get inside him a little bit.
Yes, you know, he had 30 fights, 29 wins, 23 knockouts. He had a lot of power, he was a good boxer, he had a good jab. I can out jab most guys, but you know, he got 3 inches in height and me in longer reach, and he had a good jab, fast and powerful jab, and I struggled to get happened initially, but I know it was a matter of time when I practiced in the gym, coming inside his left, he was a bit wide with his hooks, and I had to go inside his left with a right, and that's exactly what I got with in the end.
What adjustments did Pascal tell you to make in between rounds?
No, he felt just, you know, things were going to plan, and we had a strategy to just take our time, and I knew once I'd land I could take him out, and you know, things were going okay from the word go, you know, I think, really.
It's a kind of a recurring theme in your fight, Spike, is that when you start landing body shots, your opponents invariably start to crumble.
Yeah, do you know what? You just remind me of something there. I forgot to tell people about this. You're going to be the first person I'm going to tell about it. Premier Boxing, the crowd that they promoted the fight, they've got a new thing. It goes inside your glove to measure the power of your punches. They've been doing it, Al Heyman's been doing it for quite a while, and I actually recorded the heaviest ever, threw it all the way to the Demon Heavyweight, don't leave it, the heaviest blow ever recorded in a live fight last night, so it was great.
And poor Betancourt's ribs, is it?
Yeah, right hooked to the ribs, that's what it was.
Yes, you dropped him in the first round, the first time you dropped him was almost just kind of a matter of time then after that before you finished him, but you took your time, you didn't rush, and you were patient to waiting for the finish.
Yeah, you know, when he's wounded like that, you know, he's going to be desperate, and he's got a lot of power himself, so I knew to be cautious and not to get carried away and just go in cautiously and weigh my opportunity and take one of the roads, and I got him. But you know, I think after the first time he was down, he was in a lot of trouble, and I think the ref should have waited off there, and to be honest.
Yeah, but the referee allowed it to continue, and then the second time he went down, the referee, instead of waving it off straight away, counted to 10. It was kind of a bit of a bizarre situation, wasn't it?
Well, I don't want to be getting a fine that, so I don't want to be making too many comments with the referee, but yeah, I think he should have waved off the first time, and I was a bit concerned he's down on the ground for quite a long time, and he wouldn't want to see a guy badly hurt, you know.
Yeah, and in fairness to you, you weren't celebrating while the 10 count was happening. You're waiting for that to finish before you celebrated your win.
Well, initially I did celebrate, but I just, when I looked around, he was still down, and I got, calmed down and waited to get up, and, because it was a bit sad to see, really. I just wish the ref had called it off sooner, to be honest. I wish he just called the fight after the first knockdown. It was a heavy knockdown, and I think he was out of it after that.
Yeah, he could have avoided some punishment. All right, tell us about the celebration. Talk us through that.
I thought I grew a bit of Irish dancing with the kilt and, entertained the Americans. I loved it.
It was a new one on me anyway, I have to say.
A bit of a laugh anyway, but I think I'll have to stick to the box in the future. I'm a useless dancer.
I don't know, I'd say you give Michael Flatley a run for his money at this point, that's it.
Yeah, we'll have a dance off when I get back.
Tell us the kilt as well. What was the story there? What was the thinking behind that?
I just thought it was kind of an Irish warrior thing, and just kind of felt like inspirational to wear it, and I felt like I was going out to war, going out to battle, and I liked it, and just motivated me a lot.
I was thinking, I hadn't seen a guy in a ring wearing a kilt since Roddy Piper back in the mid 90s.
Yeah. Great laugh anyway. Went down
very well. Yeah, it certainly did. What about the other fight on the card last night, James De Gale? What do you think of his performance?
Absolutely fantastic. I was right at ringside for it. It was great. He's a very nice guy, and the lady got the win. I didn't like the Rel's tactics. Mm. He was dirty, and he was very moody, and the game he got the win.
So what's next to you now, Spike?
There's an awful lot of possibilities. There's talk. I was trying to get Gaff compared to this fight. That could still happen. Right up in the rankings there for his title, and but now I believe that there's a serious talks going on about maybe Miguel Cotto in Vegas. Mm. That one maybe even looks more likely now. But possibly as well, like to come to Ireland, we're talking maybe 29th of August. I'd love that as well personally. Mm. All the options are good, a lot of good things out there for me now.
Yeah, it's fantastic. What about Golovkin though? There's a lot of talk about that last night. A lot of people reckon he's unbeatable, but you don't think so?
Definitely not, though. I watched his last fight. He won by knockout in the fifth round, but I think Woody Monroe Jr. has exposed a few of his weaknesses, and Woody Monroe Jr. doesn't hit as hard as I do, and I think he's there to be hit, and I'd like to fight him. He's the number one middleweight out there right now, and I'd like to be in his position, and I fancy the job a lot.
Any interest in Chris Eubank at this stage, or is that gone for you now, do you think?
I'd still fight him. I'd love to smash him up, but I would like to get my hands on him one day, but there's bigger fights out there for me now, and I wouldn't turn my back on him if he decides to fight me. I would fight him, but I'd rather fight Miguel Cotto or Eric Lofgren with him.
Since you signed with your new promoter, Spike, your stock has just increased with each fight, and it's really up there now at this point.
Yeah, that's all I needed was somebody that was genuinely going to back me. That's with Frank Warren. He never really had my back. He was really trying to get me beaten, get me to an active. He had me out like once a year, which was no good at all. He stuck me to a contract for 4 years, and I've been with Ken Casey a couple of months. I've been out 3 times, and flipped.
Well, excellent, Spike. Future, very, very exciting for you. Can't wait to see who your next opponent is and when you're going to get your next win. But congratulations on the win last night, and no doubt we'll be haunting you again very soon.
I'll call the studio with the belt when I get back, and look forward to seeing
you. Yeah, Spike O'Sullivan there speaking after his win over Melvin Betancourt in Boston last night. Very impressive stuff from him. A second on TKO of Betancourt. Very impressive stuff, as I said, and future bright for Spike. Talking about Golovkin, talking about Cotto, could be a massive fight up next for Spike. Fingers crossed he gets it, and wearing a kilt as well. Did a jig when he won too, so
love it.
Playing up to the Irish fan base in Boston.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, fair play to
that's one way to get fans in Boston anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to talk cricket now. Cork County picked up a massive win yesterday. They defeated the defending champions YMCA Dublin in the Mardog by 3 wickets. I talked to batsman Rob Duggan about the win earlier on today.
Much needed win. We've had two away tough away games against North County and Clontarf, and to have our first home game against last year's champions and to win is brilliant.
Yeah, it was certainly an incredible stuff, a 3-wicket win in the end. He won the toss, he put them into bat. What was the thinking there?
Well, we were looking at the pitch, and you know, the weather obviously the past 3 weeks has been a bit poor, so it looked slow. We were unsure how we would play, so we decided we'd bowl first because our bowling is really our strength. And they made the trip down yesterday morning, so we thought we might get stuck into them early and see what happens.
And to limit them to under 200 as well, that was an amazing achievement.
Yeah, it was great. Especially they started really well. Their two openers, Tom Fisher, is one of them, and he's a great sort of professional. And they put on 80 for the first wicket, and it was looking a bit ominous, but our bowlers did a fantastic job to sort of drag it back. Our spinners in the middle overs really, really tied them down, and you know, we took wickets at an important time. So under 200 was brilliant, and it really gave us a good chance.
And as you mentioned, your bowling is your strength, and some superb performances yesterday from the likes of Sadiq and Grobler.
Yeah, the skipper, or Stefan Grobler, you know, was directed us really well, and his own spell of bowling was really crucial too. Like, he's a leg spinner, so it was a spinning track, and I think they sort of struggled to deal with our spin quartet. I think of with Joshy, Sadiq, Grobler, and we're obviously missing the world class talents of Andy Wootton yesterday, but we managed to get through it.
Yeah, the world's best 11, he tells me. I'm not too sure about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get them out, they finish their overs for 181, and you must think at that point you have a fantastic chance of winning the match.
Yeah, well, we knew the partnerships were crucial, especially up top. In our few games this season so far, we've sort of, the top order haven't really fired, so it was crucial that Stefan, Ross, and Mornay in particular sort of build partnerships and, you know, put us in a position where the middle and lower order could sort of maybe finish off the game. And as it turned out, that's what happened. Stefan again put on 60, Mornay had a quick fire of 40 odd, and Rory O'Keefe at number 4 chipped in with 30 odd. So at that stage we were cruising, but then we had a bit of a collapse in the middle order, which sort of made things a bit nervy, but we got over the line in the end, thankfully.
Yeah, but you never panicked, though, did you?
We were always in control. It was just, there was always the worry that, you know, if we, you know, wickets could fall in quick succession and then suddenly they have a sniff. But, you know, in the end, we were in total control. So it was a great win. It sort of hadn't sunk in because I think we were a bit disappointed because we made it harder for ourselves. But still, to beat the champions from last year is a great thing to happen.
And as you say, you have beaten the champions, and that puts the rest of the division on notice that you mean business.
Yeah, especially, I think, you know, as I say, we had two tough away games at the start of the season against Clontarf and North County. So I think the Dublin teams know coming down to Cork is going to be a tough ask, no matter how good they are. But I think if we could get a few away wins, and one or two away wins would really, you know, make our position in the league, you know, for next season a reality, really.
What's up next for you now, Rob?
Next Saturday we have Ray Reunion in the Leinster Cup at home. And Ray Reunion are actually Kevin O'Brien's club, so he might be down, but I think he might have commitments in the UK. And after that, then we have Marion the following weekend at home in the league. So two tough games. So, but you know, that's what we want, really, you know.
Excellent stuff. Rob, thanks so much for talking to us, and congratulations on yesterday's win.
Cheers, Rory. Thanks for coverage.
That's Rob Duggan there of Cork County after their win over YMCA Dublin yesterday. Very impressive stuff from them. Preston have gone 4-0 up on Swindon at Wembley, just under an hour gone in the League One playoff final. So it looks like Preston will be playing Championship football next season. Going to talk basketball. And Men's Premier League select head coach Colin O'Reilly has finalised a 12-man panel to compete at the Sino-European Championships in China in July. He's been able to include four of his Demons teammates, Kyle Hosford, Shane Colan, Kieran O'Sullivan and Niall O'Reilly, while Neptune's Roy Downey completes the strong Cork representation. Lisa spoken to Colin about getting down to the final 12.
Obviously, I know the Demons lads very well. They understand the system we're trying to play, the style of basketball, and you know they know me well. So that was they were a good help within the first few training sessions. But they performed as well, so they deserved their spots there based on their league performances and the last few weeks. With Roy as well, then Roy's one of the up and coming guards in the league. You know, he's one of the better guards already, and you know he really stepped up his performance over the last few weeks. He's turned into a bit of a leader on the team. You know, a fella that other players are getting behind already. So, you know, for the Cork lads, it's good. It's good representation of what we've achieved down here the last few years. And, you know, they all deserve their spot there. And I've no doubt that they'll all go out and give what they have over there and perform to their ability.
Now, looking at your other players within the squad, then Paul Dick, he's been playing with EVL Limburg in Germany, I understand. He's the only overseas player in the 12?
Yeah, Paul has been away the last year. The year he played in the league, he was a 20-point scorer, so he's an exceptional scorer. He's good athleticism, good speed, and, you know, he gives us something that the local base players don't give us, you know, that all-round, basically that professional skill level that we don't have at the moment. So it's good to have him on board. He's very enthusiastic as well. And so, you know, it's good for that. It's good for him. He's a young player as well, up-and-coming, that's trying to start off his... trying to push on his professional career, so it's a good exposure for him as well to go ahead with us.
So you've done 5 weekends of training that I assume would have been the larger squad, but have you done much just within the 12 itself?
Just picked that yesterday. So our last session yesterday was in the Mardike in Cork, so we just picked last night, just informed all the lads yesterday evening who was in, who was out. We'll get together midweek every week, so we'll have Dublin based players and Belfast based players training in Dublin every Wednesday or Thursday, and then Cork based lads will train in Cork. So we'll split up into two groups every during the week, and then at weekends we'll come together starting the second weekend in June.
Good stuff.
Where we'll have 4 weekends in a row leading into the tournament. We have 3 games over against Bulgaria, Italy and China. Very high level competition for us. It's our first Basketball Ireland's first step back into international competition since we withdrew. So it's a good platform for us to see where we stand now, and gives us foundations as well moving forward that, you know, we're back where we want to be, and we just have to continue on and hope we put in a good performance.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, is that one of the important things for you to look at the big picture in terms of how ye manage this whole competition? Because a national squad and a national team has to be the ultimate aim, I imagine.
Yeah, of course, yeah. There's, you know, if we're going to have a national league, we have to have a national team as well competing in European competitions to give fellas that extra push, extra drive to improve their own performance. And that was really one of the main goals of this squad when it was selected, that we try to set a new culture within the players and their expectations of what they have to do to achieve the best out of their basketball careers. You know, we're not professionals, so I understand it's not a day job. You can't be at it 24/7. But you have to do everything possible on your own spare time to achieve your best, and that's what we've said, and that's what we set out to do now. And I think the players have responded very well to it, even in the short time. The improvements in the fitness, the improvements in the weight, the body fat has been immense in such a short time. So we're looking for that to improve again over the next 6 weeks. And, you know, then guys carry it on to the following season, which will improve our league as a whole here, which again will lead on to a better national team. So, you know, it all moves on. It's one step at a time. I know we're only at the first step, but it's been a successful start as far as I'm concerned.
Great stuff. Well, best luck with the training from between now and then, and indeed we'll talk to you before you head to China. Thanks a million, Colin.
Brilliant, thanks, Lisa.
The Big Red Band, Sean Cork, ZFM. That's Colin O'Reilly there talking about the big championship coming up in China in July. He's in the 12-man panel. 4 Demons teammates on it. Kyle Hosford, Shane Colan, Kieran O'Sullivan, Niall O'Reilly and Roy Downey of Neptune as well. So a strong Cork base in that 12-man panel, but a really exciting time, and it's a really big opportunity for all the guys.
Yeah, it just looks like Colin and the rest of the squad are, you know, looking to the future, because if they can, I suppose, get this right and contest it right and prepare right, they're looking towards building a national team. I just want to give a mention as well to the ladies. We have a very strong Cork representation. Colin's sister Orla is part of the Cork representatives that are out in Luxembourg at the moment, competing in the JPEE Challenge of 2015, and yesterday they played Scotland side and won 80 points to 33. They also played Luxembourg, but lost out in that one, 77 points to 63. They've got another game this evening. They're taking on Scotland, and another game tomorrow taking on Luxembourg. So good, best of luck to them in the rest of their games there.
Indeed. Right, we are out of time on tonight's show. Thank you very much indeed for tuning our way. We'll be back next Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. In the meantime, you can find us online, redfm.ie/sport. That's where you'll find tonight's show. You can listen back to it there, and we are on Twitter as well, at Big Red Bench. Ashley's up next with Green on Red. On behalf of myself and Lisa, have a very good Sunday evening, folks.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.